I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever been in a lot of physical pain? Like a bad stomach ache or appendicitis attack or a bad toothache or some... You ever been in pain? Anybody here ever been in pain? Maybe you're not human. You're all just so perfect, little angels. I remember I came home from Honduras about a year and a half ago. And as soon as I got back, I had to fly to Maryland to do a conference there. On the way back in the plane, this is a terrible feeling. You feel like, you know, you have diarrhea coming on. Okay? But at the same time, I broke into this profuse sweat, high fever, and I was just laying in my chair in the back. And it's a packed plane. They're packing these planes now. And I start to moan. Oh! And I got a parasite. You know, they're really bad down there when you get one. I won't get graphic because you can't see them. They're just these little things that, you know, you have to look under a microscope to see. So I went to the bathroom, and then I tried to walk back to the seat, and I just got set down. I went back to the bathroom and tried to get back to the seat, but I couldn't really go to the bathroom, but I thought I was going to have to go to the bathroom. You just sit there in the seat, and it's terrible. Okay, and I spiked a fever, and it was miserable. And I was thinking, as soon as this plane lands, you know how Minneapolis is, I'm going to be at the farthest tarmac and have to walk a mile to get picked up. So I get off the plane and I'm dragging, this is no kidding, I look like a hunchback in Notre Dame. And I'm dragging my bag on, and I just felt like I was going to die. Finally, I get to the front, my wife comes to get me and I plop in the chair. I'm like, oh man, I feel like I'm going to die. And I'm moaning. I'm kind of a moaner. You know, I'm kind of an expressive person. Like, the whole time, the whole ride home. I get home and I lay down on the couch and you're just hoping that the pain will leave for just, you know, a few minutes. And all of a sudden, it left. There was a break in the action. I just laid there. Oh, man, I hope this is all there is. Hope this is all there is. And about an hour later, bam, it hits me again. All night long. 8 hours. I slept on the couch and I laid on the couch for 8 hours. Oh! 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 You know how you lay on your side and you lay on the side just hoping that maybe you can get rid of the pain. And this thing is growing inside your body. You know, and it's growing and it's getting worse. And the only way you can get rid of them is to wait 10 days for them to go away. Well, you go get this medicine. And that's not fun because you got to do these really humiliating things to even find out you have a parasite. And I won't describe that to you. But anyway, I was not too excited about it. And I'm sitting there in the doctor's office, and I can barely stand up. And the doctor said, well, you don't have nothing. So my wife calls him the next day. She said, look, he's dying. I said, okay, bring him in. So I go and I'm moaning. Oh, laying out, trying to not make a whole lot of noise. 10 days. For 10 days, I was debilitated on the bed. I'd go back in the bedroom so the family didn't hear me moan all day. Then at night, I went out on the couch so no one else heard me moan all day. And I was just begging to die. Now, have you ever been in that kind of a situation, anybody? It's not fun. It is not fun to hurt, is it? You know what hurts worse than a parasite in your belly? It's life. Life hurts. And that's what this series has been about. And I want to talk to you about finding relief tonight. Because God wants to give relief to your life. I remember about 4 years ago, I was in a restaurant and I'm, you know, eating a salad. I don't do this anymore. And the croutons were on the salad. So I put the crouton in with the salad in my mouth and I'm munching away. Bam! A tooth breaks off. Right there in the restaurant. Exposes a nerve. Oh, have you ever had that? Anything like that happen to you? Ever? I told you my life's painful. You didn't believe me. I have these kind of things happen to me. And I'm sitting there. I took 8 ibuprofen. It wouldn't go away. And it was the night, of course. You know, where can you go when it's 7 o'clock at night? There are no dentists. So you're laying on the couch all night. Go to the doctor the next day. You know, they rush in and they... You know, just, and I hate the needles. You hate needles in your mouth? I hate needles in my mouth. But I don't care. Just stick it in my mouth and get rid of this pain. You know, does that relate? Andrew, did you ever have anything like that happen to you? Anybody? Oh, you guys need to get a little older and this stuff will start happening to you, you know? Finally, you know, oh, man. Then I remember when I went to get all four wisdom teeth taken out at one time. They were starting to hurt and they were all impacted. The guy goes, oh, don't worry. You'll be fine. We'll just shatter them out of your mouth. Thank you for telling me that. And they put you to sleep, you know? And they give you this gas. And next thing I know, I wake up. Blood coming out of my mouth. And I'm just big jowls, you know? And it's cotton's in your mouth. And I went home 48 hours. I didn't move. I just laid there. Tell you this, though. I lost some weight. It was a wonderful way to lose a little weight, you know? And everybody waits on you hand and foot. That's about the only thing nice about being sick. Unless you don't have anybody to wait on you, then it's no fun. Now, I want to ask you this question. I want you to think about it. You don't have to answer it, but I want you to think about it. And you think about your own life. What has been the most painful things that have ever happened to you? And as you look out in the world that you and I live in, what are the most painful things that are happening to people? I look back on my life, and you know what was by far the most painful things in my life? The stupid things I've done to myself. The bad, foolish choices that I made in my life. Whether it was moral choices, relational choices, financial choices. I read recently a survey done of college students and their indebtedness. And they found that the college students that had by far the highest amount of debt on their credit cards had the highest rate of suicide. Also had the highest rate of depression. Of course, you know, there's all kinds of people in the United States that their materialism is so compelling, it's so overwhelming in our lives that we make all these spending decisions. We don't really have the money for it. We don't think about it at the time. It seems fun at the time to get what we want. And the next thing you know, you're under this mountain of debt and you're in pain. Or you think for a moment about, you know, maybe the last relationship you had, or maybe you're in one right now. And, you know, you start dating this person and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I want to go all the way. I don't know if I want to go all the way. And then you do. You cross that line. You cross that moral line. And then you keep crossing it. You keep crossing it. And something inside of you starts going, this isn't very comfortable. I'm not very comfortable with this. But you do it anyway. And then the relationship ends. You thought it was going to last, and it doesn't last. And now guess what? You're in pain. Well, you think about Kosovo. Now, have you ever stepped back from the situation and asked yourself, why is Kosovo Kosovo? What is the issue here? Hate. Hate is the issue. This hatred that has gone on for thousands and thousands of years. And the Muslims hating the Albanians hating the Muslims, the Serbians hating, you know, hate. What's the problem in Israel? Between the Jews and the Arabs, it's hate. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have people tell you as you go along in life, oh, we just need to be more educated. If people were more educated, there wouldn't be hate. That is a bogus pile of crap. We don't get rid of hatred because we're more educated. We live in a very educated world. We have a lot of hatred in some of the most educated parts of the world. The problem is we like hatred. That's the problem is we like immorality. The problem is we like materialism. We like greed. We like selfishness. The very same people in Kosovo or in Israel, even in the United States, who want peace in our schools, okay? All of a sudden, everybody wants peace. No, they don't. Go live in their homes. And mom and dad are at each other's throat. You ever hear the way most siblings talk to one another? The kind of names that brothers and sisters call each other? Hate is bred in our homes all over the world because it's bred in our soul. And we are a race in pain. And our pain is caused by our terrible moral choices. Our pain is caused by the fact that we've turned our back on God and we do whatever the hell we want to do. And that's what's going on in the world you and I live in. That's the problem. That's why there's so much brokenness. That's why there's so much rape. There's killing. There's greed. There's neglect. There's abandonment. There's cruelty. There's rage. Why do we rage? Because I went on my way and I didn't get it. And I can speak from experience because that happens to be one of my personal sins. And I knew that I needed help. I knew that my rage was causing personal pain in my life. I remember growing up, I was the oldest of six children, and my rage ruined all of my dating relationships. It ruined all of them. I remember this one particular girl that I was going out with in high school, and I thought I loved her. I thought it was love. I didn't know any different. Felt like love. It felt great. But I was that kind of possessive type of person. It's kind of like I'm an all or nothing sort of a guy. So you're going to be with me, then be with me. You know, I'm going to be with you. I'm committed to you. So, you know, this one particular night, she said, I don't really do anything. I just want to stay home and study. I said, okay, fine. Hey, you know, I'm a big guy. I can deal with that. That's fine. Stay home and study. I'm going to go do something myself. So I go downtown, this little town I'm living in. And who do I see downtown? But my girlfriend and her girlfriend walking around. Now, what I did was stupid and ignorant and childish, and it was because of me. But I flipped out. I was so mad. I slammed on the brakes of my car right in the middle of Main Street, put it in park, get out of the car, I walk up to her, and what are you doing? You lied to me. This is unbelievable. You know, I wasn't talking exactly that nice. And she kind of looked at me and starts to cry. Her girlfriend starts to cry, and I'm thinking, you know, Marcus, life sucks. And I get off the sidewalk, and I get back in my car, and I rev it up really high, and I drop it into drive, and I, you know, take off, and I get home, and I kick the car and slam the door, and I was so mad. You know, and of course, in my own childish and foolish way, I just blame women for all my problems. I was a problem. I was a problem. I was the problem. My sin was the problem. My stupid, foolish, personal, moral choices. They were the problem. They were the problem. And when I was about 19 years old, I made a mess of my family. My siblings didn't like me. My parents, they loved me, they didn't like me. And I'll never forget, one time my father finally just got to the point, he came to me and said, you know, Mark, change or leave. Because I won't have you poison the whole family. And I said a few choice words to him, and I left. I chose to leave. And my life just got more and more and more and more painful. I took off hitchhiking, and I just went from one painful situation to the next painful situation to the next painful situation, doing whatever I wanted to do. And my life was getting harder and harder, and there was more guilt and more burden in my life than male. Maybe you can imagine it. Some of you maybe can't. Some of you are living there, and you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're still living with your family, and you know you just can't stand your folks. Maybe you don't live with them, and you can't stand them. And you're just feeding that rage and that bitterness. That's human nature, see? And that's the problem with the world. The problem with the world is we're human. And the only way to change the way we are is to become something different than human. And that's what the gospel, what we refer to the gospel, the Bible refers to the good news of God, of Jesus Christ, is all about. Christ wants to change your life. He wants to clean you out from the inside. You and I, quite frankly, are rotten in the inside. We just stink. If somebody were to open us like a can, we would just stink to high heaven. And the only way that you can change human beings is if they have the humility, the willingness to say, you know what, God, I'm sick of the pain. I'm tired of living in pain. I'm tired of rebelling against you. I'm tired of turning my back on you. I'm tired of doing... Listen, let's face it. The world you and I live in, everybody is doing just the opposite of what God tells them to do. He tells us to be grateful, we're not. He tells us to be joyful, we're not. He tells us to forgive and forget, we don't. He tells us not to lie, not to lust, not to steal, not to hurt, and not to be selfish. And you know, we just do it. It's like a fish swims, a dog barks, humans sin. That's what separates you and I from animals. Christ didn't die for animals. Animals do not make moral choices. We make moral choices. We defy God because it's our nature and that's how I live. I lived my whole life till finally I got to the breaking point. I was in so much pain. I was like laying on the bed of life, holding my stomach and my jaw at the same time. And I finally said, God, save me. Change my life. I am sick of me. I am sick of my life experience. I am sick of doing these stupid things over and over and over again. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle of heart, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to tell you something. I can tell you from experience, 23 years of experience, God's yoke is easy. The yoke that I used to carry before I had Christ in my life was heavy and burdensome and full of pain. Full of pain. And I've been on both sides of the fence. Some of you maybe haven't. Some of you have only been on the opposite side of God. And you've been going through life and you're weary and you're worn down and you're struggling and you wonder why you're struggling. And you wonder what's the world all about and what's life all about and why am I here? You're here for one reason. So that you could come to know Christ and Christ could change your life. The whole world was put into motion so that God could send His Son and show you that He loved you and redeem you, buy you back and save your life. And give you eternal life. And forgive you of all the things. I used to go around with so much guilt in my life. Listen, maybe you're a lot more saintly than I was. I doubt it. You maybe have your own pet things. You know what they are. I had so much guilt in my life. Guilt used to keep me up at night. I knew in my heart the things I was doing was wrong. But I did them anyway. And at the same time, there was this burden of guilt. And I wanted so desperately, I wanted something different in my life. Maybe you're in that situation tonight. Christ wants to change your life. Christ gave His life. You see, I'm going to share something with you about God. This is something a lot of people don't want to talk about. They don't want to understand. God is a loving God. He proved it to you. The song Chad sang tonight is all about the love of Christ. Christ did more than swim an ocean, more than climb a mountain. He walked through the streets naked while He was jeered and laughed at, carrying the cross that He was going to be nailed to. And you know who really put Him there? God the Father. And you know why God the Father put Him there? You know why He hung for all the world to see? Because He was the payment, the sacrifice, the only one that will ever satisfy God for your wrongdoing. Now I want to share something with you. I'm sharing this with you because I care about you. I'm doing this church because I care about the people that are here and the people in this city. God will judge every single person in the world. Every person who rejects Christ, the only payment. Do you remember last week I shared with you that little story about going to the mall and you put all these things, you get $4,000 or $5,000 worth of clothes and you go up and you say to the person, I want to pay for these with my special rocks. And the person says to you, excuse me, we don't take rocks. We take cash, credit, or check, but we don't take rocks. Well, I sincerely believe in these rocks. I love these rocks. That cashier has every right to tell you, you got rocks for brains. We take cash, we take credit, we take a check. If you persist, guess what's going to happen? They're going to call security. Are they being unloving? Are they being unfair? Absolutely not. Because money is the system of currency and buying and selling in America. Now, Is God being unfair? If you don't accept His payment, it's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. Let me ask you this. Have you ever asked yourself this question? How can the world be so arrogant to turn their back on God and Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed to pay for your wrongdoing? That's awful arrogant. And people will pay for their arrogance. They will get the chance to stand before God. They won't have Miles Lord to stand next to him. They won't have Milovitz and Associates. Their law degree won't do them any good whatsoever. And God will look them in the eye and say, "Now tell me, why did you reject my son?" And there won't be any excuses. And they will spend all of eternity paying, separated from God for their sin. It does not have to be that way. It does not have to be that way in eternity, and it does not have to be that way now. You can unload your burden of sin, your burden of guilt. You can turn to God and change your life tonight. The 23 years that I've known Christ, I've had the privilege of leading many, many, many hundreds of people to Christ. I have watched abusive families put back together. I have watched addicts' life, drug addicts' life, turned around. I have seen people who were victims of rape, victims of incest, severely abused. Not all the problems in their life they caused. I've seen their lives changed and turned around. And you know what? Basically, to be quite frank with you, every day of my life is filled with a measure of joy that is beyond anyone I know who does not know Christ. Every day of my life. Every single day. I have something to be thankful for. Something significant that God is doing in my life. I have God living inside of me. See, that's the message. That's why Christianity is the only hope for the world. Because it's the only religion, if you want to call it that, and I'll explain why it's not in a moment. It's the only religion in the world that offers you the presence of God living inside of you, and it transforms your very being. See, Buddhism is not that way. If you were here for Greg's series, you can get it on tape. Buddhists are into self-improvement. Hindus are into self-improvement. Let me be frank with you. Most of Catholicism is into good works. Most all religions in the world are about good works and self-improvement. Here's God's point. Now listen to this very carefully. Without Christ, there is no self-improvement. You stay rotten and leprous in your soul forever. There's nothing you can do to get rid of your disease unless you take the cure. And the only cure is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us there is no salvation in any other name given among men whereby you must be saved. And that person is Jesus Christ. And you know what happens? When you embrace Christ, when you just simply say with your heart, "Lord God, I realize I've sinned. I realize I've done..." Listen, a lot of things have happened to me in my life, but I've also done a lot of bad things. I've lusted. I've been greedy. I've cheated. I've lied. I've misrepresented things. I've hated. And more than anything else, Lord, to be quite frank, I haven't had the time of day for you. I've turned my back on your laws. I've turned my back on you. I've turned my back on your son. And today, I just want to ask you to forgive me. Jesus said in John that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that we're saved by God's gift of grace. It's his favor. You don't do anything to get it. You just accept it. Remember years ago I was doing a concert with my band. And it was in a park, and to make a point, I took out a $20 bill. I don't have one tonight or I'd do it. And I held up this $20 bill and I asked anybody in the crowd, I said, "Would anybody like a $20 bill? Can anybody here use a $20 bill?" A bunch of hands went up. I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Whoever comes up and gets this $20 bill, you can have it." Now, was it a little intimidating? Sure. I mean, I was up on a stage. They were out there. Everybody's going to look at you. So I just stood there and I just continued the invitation. I just said, "Look, I'm really serious. This isn't a pastor joke. If anybody wants this $20 bill, you come on up here and get this $20 bill. And I waited about 5 minutes, and guess who came up? Anybody guess? What? Exactly. A little child. You know what Jesus said? Unless you have the faith of a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You know what's beautiful about children? They're gullible. This little child had no reason to distrust me. He saw a $20 bill. He heard me say it. This little boy, 10-year-old boy, walked up and he looked at me and he looked at the 20 and he looked at me and I just stood there. And he reached out and he put his fingers on it and started to pull. And as soon as he did, I let go. And he looked at me and his eyes got really big and he said, "Is this mine?" I said, "It's yours!" And the whole crowd starts clapping. And I said, "I really meant what I said, young man. It's your $20 bill. You do with it whatever you want to do. That's all you have to do to get Christ. That's all you have to do to have your life change." And I'm going to ask us to bow our heads right now, and I'm going to close in prayer. Maybe your life's been hurting. Maybe there's a lot of things in your life, you know, you've done. And you know deep inside in your conscience, you see, the Bible tells us that God has written eternity in our heart. We don't have to have anybody teach us God's laws to know in our heart being immoral is wrong. Sneaking around doing things that your parents would never approve of. You guys know, I knew I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's God. See, He put that in your heart. And He put it in your heart to bring you to Him. He caused the pain. He allowed it to bring you to Him so He can take the pain away. So He can give you a brand new life so that you can become the person you really want to be. Loving and kind and upright. So you can have real joy in your life. I could have tonight one person after another come up on this stage who's out in this audience tonight who's known Christ. Whose lives were radically changed. And they can tell you firsthand by their own testimony, Christ changed my life. And I want to tell you something about Christianity. This isn't some learned behavior. See, you may be thinking, you know, Mark, Christians, they just, you know, they say it, oh no, my life changed in a night. In a night, overnight, my life began to change. I spent one evening full of hate, full of anger. I embraced Jesus Christ that night, and I woke up the next day as if someone had put new glasses on my eyes. And all of a sudden, I wanted to apologize to my mother. I wanted to ask her for her forgiveness for being such a mean and rebellious, pathetic son. All of a sudden, when Christ came into my life, I wanted to write letters to the ex-girlfriends that I had used for my own selfish pleasure. No one told me to do it. Nobody sat down with me and said, "Okay, Mark, say after me, this is your personal mantra, Mark. Cross your legs a certain way, go, Nobody taught me any of that. God moved into my heart through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "When I leave, I will come again and I will send my Spirit to live in you." God comes and lives in you and He never leaves. Once you get Him, He never leaves. And He begins the process. You know, hey, my swearing didn't stop overnight, but all of a sudden, I wanted it to stop. You know, and even to this day, sometimes I hit my finger and kick something. Something comes out of my mouth I didn't want to come out of my mouth. I'll tell you this, I really thank God He died for that. I don't feel bad about it anymore. I know Christ paid for that. Thank you, Lord, You paid for that. I've been married 20 years. I have 4 children. And I can tell you right now, I'm going to tell you this. This is the honest to God truth, hand on the Bible. If it was not for Jesus Christ, I would have been divorced already. My kids would hate my guts. I would be the most pathetic, overbearing, critical, domineering, loudmouth, obnoxious father you could possibly imagine. You have no idea. I would be so jealous, so self-centered, so possessive with my wife that she would have left me. She would not have been able to stand living with such a pig of a man. Christ can change your life, and He can change the world. So I want you to bow your head. You don't have to pray out loud. I want to tell you something about God. He can hear you as though you're the only one praying. And if you don't know Him, if you don't know for absolute certain tonight, if for some reason the world just stopped and your life was over, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, if you're not 100% sure all my sins are forgiven, I know they are. I have begun this personal relationship with Christ. You see, that's what Christianity is. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with the divine. It's a personal relationship with God. It's like being married. You can know this person who loves you. They can propose to you. But until you walk down the aisle and we say I do and you say I do, you're not man and wife. Same is true with God. It's a relationship. And He's proposed to you. He said, I love you. He proved it to you. He said, I want you to be my bride. The Bible refers to Christians as the bride of Christ. Very personal, very intimate. God loves you. And He wants you in His family. And all you have to do is say yes to Him. Say, yes, Lord, I want you. As I'm praying tonight, you just say in your heart, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me. I admit I've sinned. I realize tonight you've opened my eyes and I want you to come and live in me and clean me up and change my life. I believe that you died for me personally. Not just for the whole world out there, but for me personally. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me, and thank you that you've come and lived in me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight that you can change a life, that you love every single person in the world. You died when you were on that cross. My sin was on you. Greg's sin was on you. Jay's was on you. Jeremy's was on you. Celeste was on you. You became the thing you hated most, the sin of the world. Father, I just want to tell you, I am so grateful to you. I owe you everything in my life. Everything. Thank you for the joy. I thank you for the peace. I thank you that you took a man who used to be so angry and bitter all the time, and you've helped me learn to love. And you've given me patience. As your word says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. What a world it would be if every person had the Spirit in them and all that fruit was coming out of their life. But you said the fruit of the flesh is hatred, immorality, jealousy, rage, and all the things we see in the world living out of us every day of our lives. Lord, thank you for this place we can meet. Thank you for each and every person here tonight. I just ask you, Lord, that they would know in a special way this evening that you love them more than life itself. You died. You willingly laid it down for each of them. Give them the courage. Give them the humility to say, Jesus, I want you. In Jesus' name.